You served in Vietnam. Why were you willing to fight for your country when it didn't fully recognize your rights?
My father fought in Asia. He was one of those first blacks allowed to be in the Marine Corps in 1943. My grandfather fought in World War I under General Pershing. I had lots of time to think. Why was I going to Vietnam just 2 years after I was almost lynched twice by the Ku Klux Klan? Why was I going to put on the uniform? Why was I, unlike President Trump, did not try to get a deferment? I had thoughts about that. But I also knew that as a Buffalo soldier, and that's what I consider myself at, black men have always had to fight on two front. The Tuskegee Airmen had to fight on two front, because perhaps I naively thought that if I go and wear the uniform, defend the flag, all I'm doing is trying to convince my white brothers that I am a first-class citizen, and like my father and grandfather before me, and like the black men before me, the 9th and the 10th Cavalry, I am willing to share the burden of defending the flag and wearing a uniform and leaving tears and blood on the battlefield. I actually thought it would make a difference. I truly believe that. Naively so. And I've told this story many times. Another freedom rider, Charles Person, was in the Marine Corps at the same time that I was in the Army in Vietnam. And believe it or not, had both of us come back with the Medal of Honor, it wouldn't have meant a damn thing to those white folks in Anniston, Alabama. For me, I came back with a Purple Heart because of my injuries. Every once in a while, a few people who recognize the Purple Heart and the emblem that I have will come up to me and say, thank you for your service. But basically, and I'll never forget one day in Anniston when I went into City Hall with my combat ribbons pinned on my chest and the Purple Heart, three white women just looked at me, and I could almost see, it wasn't contempt, but it was kind of like, what are you doing here? And one little story about that, I had been asking to meet with members of that mob. I understand all of them except one has passed. And I wanted to shake hands with them because that's what I've been doing. I went back to Vietnam, sponsored by the State Department, to meet with North Vietnamese veteran, and my treatment couldn't have been better. The only time I was ever treated as an American was in Vietnam when I went back. They saw me as an American. So I met with the relatives of a couple of these men. And this woman said to me, she said, when you were in Vietnam, you were the enemy, right? I said, yeah. She said, that's why they shot you, right? I said, okay. And I'm trying to figure out, where is she going with this? She said, well, when you came down here, you were the enemy. And that's why we tried to kill you. I was speechless. And of course, the other people with me were speechless. Not that, you know, we appreciate what you've done in for the defense of the country. That didn't mean anything to them. I'm still a black man. And my being black was more important than anything else to her. There will be no convincing her or any member of that family that I'm a first-class citizen. And frankly, you know, I've stopped trying.
Wow. Obviously, there are some people who disagree with that family. I gather you know about the statue in the works of you and Janie. What do you
yes.
think about that?
Well, I'm not the prettiest guy in the world. I don't look like Denzel Washington. It's a good thing my wife's eyesight is not that good. So I hope they do a decent job of making me look like, well, yeah, make me look a little bit like Denzel. Okay, all right.
Okay.